I feel very honored to be back with you again this Monday night. And not only honored because the Lord has made it possible for me and my wife Minnie to be here and Caleb, our grandson, but to see you back. And those of you that come from other places to encourage to work here at New Caney, well, we are very happy that you have come our way. Jimmy Lane is doing some work in the Latin work, and going into Mexico, has gone with me a couple of times, I think, into Costa Rica. So if you don't know Jimmy, well, you know, make the opportunity. Make the time to meet him and encourage him in the work. I don't know whether his sidekick is very caring of Jimmy and his health and safety. Because I don't know anyone that would want to take somebody to Mexico, you know, under the conditions that are there now. And of course, I say that joking. But be quick and ready to include Jimmy and Vicente Ramirez as they make their way in April to be with the brethren in Guadalajara, Mexico. It's so good and so rich that we can go into so many places to preach the gospel. And right around the corner from where we live, that is also very, very encouraging. I know many likes that because I stay close to home. I'm going to be reading here in a few minutes, or in a few seconds, really, from 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. The Apostle Paul is writing his second epistle to Timothy. And he says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, a greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. What is so encouraging about this particular scripture is that you will find similar statements made by the Apostle Paul about a young man that he had taken under his arms to train, to work with. And I don't know of a man that receives so much praise from Paul as does Timothy. So when you consider the passage that we have just read, mainly verse 5, where the Apostle Paul speaks of the genuine faith that is in you. What a statement. Not just faith, but he calls it genuine faith. And when you consider the word genuine, you have to come to a real quick definition of genuine. What it really means is unflinched, unhypocritical, real confidence in God. One of the things that I found in my studies, that Christianity, the way the good Lord has set it up, does not allow anyone to have a fake faith. There is no way in the world that you can fool God. There is no way in the world that anyone can deceive God. He knows better than anybody else whether the faith that you and I have is really a real faith. The Apostle Paul was paying a very high compliment to this young man by the name of Timothy. So when we talk about the faith of Timothy, we have to consider some things that are very simple. First of all, it was a genuine faith that other Christians and non-Christians did not have. So when he was talking about this particular faith, it was very obvious that there were some that did not have it. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, for example, verses 18 through 20, he speaks of those that having rejected the faith, suffered shipwrecked. They apostatized. They failed in their life. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, you have a list of the most horrible sins that people can commit. Lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure. Now you know right away that these people do not have faith. And if they don't have faith, they surely do not have genuine faith. So you kind of get an idea just exactly what we're talking about. There's something else that stands out in our study, and you can go back to Acts chapter 16 and verse 1, where the name of Timothy appears for the first time. Where the writer is talking about Timothy being a son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. But his father was Greek. So the word "but" tells you right away that there was a distinction between the father and the mother. The mother believed, and apparently the father did not believe. So although Timothy had a genuine, real faith, his father did not have it. We already know as Christians that this is the faith that pleases God. You have a list in Hebrews chapter 11 of all of those men that are mentioned in the Old Testament that stand out as men of faith. But we are told in verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. So how important was it? Very important. As we begin to get a clear picture of the faith that Timothy had. But let me also put before you tonight that the scriptures tell us that this faith of Timothy dwelt first in his grandmother Lois and Eunice, his mother. These two women were believers. Can you imagine all of the experience that these two women had? Can you imagine everything that they had accumulated through the years? And they had that genuine faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 that we read a while ago, "Which dwell first in your grandmother and your mother." That's where it came from. It is somewhat easy for us to understand that Timothy did not inherit faith from them. I don't have to tell you that, but you already know that. Timothy did not inherit faith from his mother and grandmother. Neither did he inherit unbelief from his great father. There are people that are real quick to say, well, you know, he inherited this from his mother and grandmother. But yet when you look at it from the other side, why not say, well, you know, he's an unbeliever because that's the way his father was. There's something of a conflict here in this story that we know of Timothy. But it's very important for us to recognize that Timothy did not inherit the genuine faith that dwelt first in his mother and grandmother. But notice also, the faith that Timothy had came from hearing and believing the Holy Scriptures. There in chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul makes mention that the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith. That was the real issue here. Oh, of course, these two women believed. They got to know the truth. But it points to the fact that it wasn't just the idea of mama and grandmom having faith, but it's the whole idea here that hearing and believing the Holy Scriptures was where this faith came from. I want us to understand also that because of what was happening with Lois and Eunice, because of their attitude, because of their behavior, they were good teachers, teaching and persuading Timothy. But not only using the scriptures to persuade him, but their example stands out in the Bible. There is this thing about knowing where faith is and how it works. You have heard this expression. Do not tell me how to do it. Show me how to do it. And how true that is about faith. Because people have faith and they talk about having the real and genuine faith. But when you look at their life, it's very different. So when you consider the two women, the Apostle Paul makes the point, knowing from whom you have learned them. So there is more to this than just listening to these two women talking. It had to do with their living example. But it is also important to recognize that they used the Holy Scriptures to persuade, to teach Timothy. He said that the Holy Scriptures were so powerful that he was nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine. He was fed. His mind, his brain was saturated with the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is why Lois had it. This is why Eunice had it. And this is why Timothy had it. Because both of these women were very good teachers of the gospel that Timothy had learned. It stands out in our study that these two women fulfill their maternal duties. Titus chapter 2 and Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 speak of the duties of mothers and grandmothers. And you know, we live in a society where the advice and the teaching of grandmother is not very well taken. We live in a society where young people get married and they don't want to hear what mother has to say. They don't want to hear what grandmother has to say. But can you imagine all of the ability? Can you imagine all of the experience that these two women had? And how they could bring them up in training and admonition of the Lord? Timothy had two women in his life that were good teachers of the gospel and also good teachers in showing him by an example. But I want us to know something else. You cannot study what the Bible has to say about the faith of Timothy without recognizing that this was not only the two women participating in the teaching. You have to come to an understanding that Timothy had to do something on his own. He had to participate in the teaching from his mother and grandmother. Sometimes I speak to parents whose children are unfaithful or have never obeyed the gospel. And the first thing they tell me is, I've taught them, we have brought them up in the church, and we have helped them, and we've done everything possible. Well, I recognize that. But if children do not have a susceptible mind to receive the teachings, they will never receive it. So when you consider Timothy, please consider that from childhood, from a very young man, he knew the Holy Scriptures. Not only that, but he was nourished in the words of faith. Notice what Paul says, which you have carefully followed. What does that tell us? Somebody had to be following. Someone had to be leading. So the whole idea here is that Timothy, his faith, not only came from what he heard from his mother and grandmother, but this also comes from his attitude, from his heart, how he wanted to participate with them, and how he wanted to be a susceptible person to their teaching. That's why when you consider that Timothy learned from his grandmother, from his mother, you have to consider also that he learned from Paul. And Paul makes mention of this. But one of the most beautiful passages that you can read, go with me to Philippians chapter 2, is what Paul wrote the church at Philippi and makes mention of the confidence that he had in Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 19. He says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." Now that's powerful. Now how in the world could this young man could become so important in the life and the work of the Apostle Paul? You're seeing it here. You're hearing it tonight. He was very special because he wanted to participate. He wanted to be a part of the gospel. He wanted to be a person that was obedient to his mother and to his grandmother, but obedient in the sense of following their lead. And what a very high compliment the Apostle Paul is paying to Timothy here in our study. Not only that, it stands out also that Timothy was exhorted that he must continue in the things he had learned. I just mentioned a while ago what parents say. You know, I brought them up in the church. I taught them from the very beginning. And you probably did. But children, teenagers, must continue in the things that they learn. It's their part. Just like they can learn so many other things in education, in sports, in science, in computer. Children today are born so smart, so intelligent. They can also make a decision to continue in the things that they have learned from their parents and from their mother. It is not enough to begin. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. but you must finish the race. This is what real, genuine faith is. But let us note something else here in our study. When you consider what we have just commented about Timothy, the power of the gospel is not in question. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for example, I am not ashamed of the gospel, the Apostle Paul said. The power of the gospel to produce genuine faith. It can happen. It can happen. We must continue to teach it. We must never cease to teach it. No matter how simple it is, no matter how basic it is, we must understand the need of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to produce the genuine faith. But there's something else here that I want to consider. The importance of parents and grandparents that live and teach genuine faith. It is not enough to teach our children the gospel. You haven't fulfilled your responsibility by just teaching. But as parents and as grandparents, we must live the faith that we teach. We must show them by our example. This is the way to do it, Johnny. This is the way to do it, Mary. This is the way to do the things that are right in God's sight. But let me also put before you that children and grandchildren can have genuine faith. It's not only grandma and mama. I kind of get the idea once in a while that teenagers think this is a senior citizen religion. Don't you get that feeling, or am I wrong? Am I seeing monsters where there are none? You know, because children grow up and they dream liberty and they dream being away from mama and papa who have encouraged them for many years to attend, to be faithful, to study, to participate in Bible classes. But genuine faith can be attained by children and grandchildren. So this is a very simple lesson to learn. But consider also that genuine faith can dwell in persons of all ages. I have no idea how old Lois was. I don't know anybody here that knows. I don't know how old Eunice was. And I surely don't have any idea how old Paul was. But I want you to know that I think, if you care to know, that they were more or less our age. Not only that, but here we find that people of all ages can have the genuine faith. It is not something that belongs only to senior citizens. It is not something that belongs only to the elderly, to papa and mama. But this belongs to the young people. This belongs to the children. And we learn this as we study the faith of Timothy. But there's another thought here that I want to point out tonight. Children can have it, even if one or both parents do not. Yes, it can happen. In Acts chapter 16 at verse 1, I already pointed it out. It speaks of Timothy and of his mother's faith. She was one that believed, but his father was Greek. So it is never mentioned that his father taught him the gospel. Paul never makes mention of that. In his two letters that he writes to Timothy, He makes no mention of his father. We don't even know his name. So we come to the conclusion that he was not a believer. And there are many, many couples that either the man is a Christian or the woman is a Christian. And children are born to this relationship. And there is a struggle between the mother and the father. See who's going to win out. See if Johnny's going to stay home with his dad or go with mama to church. And you know who wins. I mean, don't fake it. You know who wins. Because the attraction is far greater to stay home. And stay home and do nothing. Just have a good time with dad. And there are children that are born to couples that neither one of them is a Christian. And then all of a sudden, they hear about the gospel and they obey the gospel. They become very faithful. Let me tell you, I even know gospel preachers. I know elders. I know deacons. I know brethren that are faithful just like you, who their parents were not members of the church, were not Christians. And you are. You have succeeded. You have overcome. You are victorious in your faith. So let me tell you, it can happen. It is not outside your reach. But there's something else to consider here. No one is born with genuine faith. Each individual obtains it by hearing and obeying the Word of God. That's it. I wish I could tell you that we inherited. But again, you know, not everybody has parents that are Christians or grandparents that are Christians. Not everybody is born in this world with parents that fear God and have obeyed the gospel. No, that's not true. So what you have here is the need of understanding the importance of hearing and obeying the Word of God. Brethren, this idea is so important. It is terribly important in our life. Let me end this lesson tonight by stating that genuine faith is within your reach. You can have it. Anyone can have it. There's not people in this world that cannot have this genuine faith that you and I are talking about. So it comes down to what each individual wants to do. It comes down to your vote. It comes down to your decision. Tonight, if you are already a believing person, but you have not obeyed the gospel, you have not been immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, why not start tonight? You will be participating in a victory process because you already believe. And you are ready to repent and confess your faith in Christ Jesus and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. That is what the Lord wants. And that is exactly what can be done if you are a willing participant. Shall we stand and sing?